60 or so now. And it's basically, it's a hate crime. They hate Christians. The worst thing of all is, if you looked at any of the national news reports for the first 2 days, they said they were Easter attenders. Not a single report said that they were Christians. The world is against us. But folks, we knew that was going to happen. It's predicted all through the Old and the New Testament, all the way down to the book of Revelation, that we will have more, and we are having more and more martyrs now than we did even the time of the first church.
You have been telling us that ever since you've been here.
And I wish I was wrong. I wish I was wrong, but it's not. It's there. So we cannot be surprised. We have an adversary. His name is Satan, Beelzebub, the devil. Pick a term, Lucifer, anything you'd want to do. Matter of fact, there was a report I heard yesterday. There are now statues all over the world, and including our own country. We have statues, you know, to Christopher Columbus and to George Washington. There are now several statues in our country to Satan, to Lucifer, to Beelzebub. Open in the public, people showing their God. Now, when they're that brazen about it, means they're not afraid of what Christians will do. And they're flaunting in front of God. So we need to be praying for the Christians around the world. I call it Papua New Guinea. How do they say it? Do they say call it Papua New Guinea? A report the other day used a different word, like Papal or something. That's a dangerous place. Matter of fact, I'll tell you where I saw the report of it. If you watch a show called Gold Rush, the young man is over there in the Papua New Guinea area, and he says there are still tribes who will take a person's life for no reason whatsoever. So we need to particularly pray. And Ethiopia isn't all that stable. Ever since they got rid of dictator Haile Selassie, it is called a democracy, but I'm not sure it's called the democracy that we're in. So we need to be praying for all of our missionaries and the risk they do for the love of other people. Well, speaking of love, we go into a chapter that most of you have probably, a book that most of you have never heard a sermon of, I suspect, or in quite detailed sermon anyway. The book is pretty much attributed to the time of, or to, or by Solomon himself. Written about the 10th century BC, which was the time of period that Solomon was the king. They've compared the language that it was written in, and the verbiage that is being used, and some of the historical references in it to show that it is that of time. A king is mentioned in there, but a different king is not. The first king was prior to Solomon's time, or another a king in a different territory, and another one that should have been mentioned was not. Omar was not mentioned in there, so they pretty much locking it down to that area. We know that Solomon was a prolific writer. We just got through with the book of Proverbs, and a lot of the words that are used in this, the phrases that are used in this book, are phrases that he's used before. If we turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, verse 15, we read this. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, should your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone. Never be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice with the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Solomon, who had the hundreds of wives and concubines, spoke about fidelity in marriage and what infidelity could do. Chapter 6, verse 24. Through 29, reads this way, 24. These are the commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. The corrections of discipline are the ways to life, keeping you from immoral women, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes, nor the prostitute which reduces you to a loaf of bread, or the adulteress which preys upon your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Don't want to find out. Can a man walk the hot coals without his feet being scorched? He who sleeps with another man's wife, no one who touches her will go unpunished. So there he is once again talking about morality. we, and this is the man of wisdom, Simon, the 7th chapter, verse 6, goes this way. Except it went this way. At the window of my house, I looked through the lattice, and I saw the simple. I noticed the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near the corner, walking in the direction of her house. He's talking about the adulteress. At twilight of the day was fading, the dark of night set in. Then I came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute. Did you know the word prostitute's in the Bible that often? It's plain, isn't it? It's not that we're not told about it. Dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. She's loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now the street, now the squares, to every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him with a brazen face. And then it gets deeper. Perfume in her bed, perfume in her sheets, all those type of things. At once the man followed her like an ox going to slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, like until the arrow pierces his liver, a bird who goes into the snare. So it talks about the lambing. This is some dumb, unprepared, unworldly kid who falls in the traps. The red lights that we've heard about, the red light districts, they were signs that were used in the olden days to indicate the houses of prostitutions. And the like. Listen, I have worthy things to say, Solomon says. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true. For my lips to test wickedness. All the words in my mouth are just. None of them are crooked or perverse. So he's trying to give a background of why he's saying what he says. Had to be some experience factor. We're not sure. Well, the writers are not sure. Well, the writer of this book. Now, King James. You doing King James? What's the title on the top of the page? The title of the book?
The Song of Solomon.
The Song of Solomon. If you've got New International, what does it say? The Song of Songs. There are 9 different parts of songs written in this book. Some are written in the male verse, a male voice. Some are written in the female voice. It's a book of passion. It's a book of concern. It's a book that comes... Some of it's patterned after the words of Semitic. We've heard the term anti-Semite, anti-Jewish. These are some of the words that were used in the Semite, Semitic's wedding feast and those type of things.
The passages you selected for us so far are just one layer of interpretation of this material.
Yes.
It's on a level that says... The image we hear is God and God's love for Israel.
That's the end of it, yeah.
The level is Jesus' love for his followers, as well as the level that you described.
Physical love.
Human, physical, one-to-one.
Yeah. But if you notice, though, quite often, does God not call us his children?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus call us his brothers and sisters. So I think... In my opinion, and you're exactly right, and the latter part will point that out even more. My opinion is that he's taking something we know, almost like a simile. God's love is similar to your love for one another. Because if he was to talk about nuclear creation, I wouldn't understand it. You'd get somebody else. So I think he talks on my terms, and that's I think it's important for us to understand that we can apply. I mean, would you teach the sermon we had on Sunday? You would not give all the depth and the detail of that to a 4-year-old when he asks, "Does God love me?" But you know, it's more than he needs.
I make nightmares because of the Passion of Christ. You know, they say no, you have to be at least 16 to go see the movie theater.
Marvelous movie.
Kids, you know, nightmares about the beatings.
So we need to speak on the terms that are understanding. Because my growing up preacher was Dr. Art Hoven, who did the Christian Hour for 40-some years. He had a pure PhD several times. We would go home after church and get the dictionary and start looking up the words that he used. No, I'm serious. My dad and mother were simple, high school educated country people. And they did propitiation. What? So we would go home after supper, lunch, and look up those words. Well, he talked to a lot of college professors and stuff like that. We were just hangers-on, but he did sound good. This is one line that's extremely important. The lady proclaims that love is an overwhelming power, that it rivals any fierce enemy, including death. It burns with intensity. All a man's possessions cannot purchase love, nor be exchanged for it. That's in my book. That's in my notes. You're not there yet.
I'm not there yet.
But nice of you to anticipate it, though.
But when you go to the comparison of what Solomon was writing about between physical love and spiritual love, is that the prostitutes would have been another religion. Because
absolutely, positively. And who would have known better?
Right. And then if a young man was being swayed by that religion or that lack of religion, then that's where that prophetic, don't go to that house. No. Don't go to that other place of worship, which would be Josephine's waitresses. Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh. My mother's nickname was Josephine's. I don't. Okay, well, thank you.
But then when he starts talking about having that love, you know, would you kiss your mama with that mouth? That first line, you know, let your words be as sweet as honey, because when you start being a book or a vision for someone else, it needs to be of God's love. It
pure.
Needs to be
the word in there will be pure,
pleasing and fragrant, and, mm-hmm. and not as harsh and, you know, you will fire, stone, and brim, you know.
Hold this in your mind. Many scholars, and I as well agree, though I'm not a scholar, that the downfall of Israel from David to Jeroboam and Rehoboam was Solomon bringing so many women in. Now, most of those were not a love relationship. Most of those were a business deal. I will make peace with this town, give me your daughter. But they brought their own gods with them. And they would sit up under, it's quite often called under the trees. They would sit up their small altars or their worship places, and they would bring false gods, obviously false gods in. And Jehovah has told them over and over and over, I am a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, when his number one handpicked man, only I think second to David, because the blessings he gave him to start off with, goes out and allows us to come into the towns, how could it not but cause the failure of Israel? I mean, I am a, believe it or not, I'm a, I don't know how to use this word, I am a sanitary freak. I will not eat a fork falls on the floor, I go wash it off. I don't use a plate the second time. It's going to be steamed and cleaned. I will not eat a meal without washing my hands or pouring that poison alcohol on me. But can you imagine people in the olden days who would come in from working in the fields or working, killing cattle or whatever you do, and just sit down and start eating? They only lived to be 20 or 30. Well, of course, what kind of germs were they passing around? Well, the same thing is if you start bringing in the poison of the false gods. And I think it's an allegory of this love, the wrong love, is bringing in, the, as you say very well, Pam, is a poison of false gods. It's Paula, it's not Pam, and I know better. Josephine. Joe, are you voting back there?
But the Bible says not what goes in, it's what comes out of the mouth.
Yeah. And evidently,
times when you might have to eat without your voice hanging.
No, I don't do it. I won't do it. Okay. I'm that German. You won't call me germophobic, but I'm that cautious. I really am. Let him kiss me, she says, with the kisses of my mouth. For your love is more delightful than wine. Was that song in the 60s? Her kisses were sweeter than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes, your name like a perfume poured out. No wonder the maidens love you. Take me away with you and let us hurry. Let the king bring me to his chambers. Now, this seems like the female voice addressing Solomon. Did he hear this from the woman? Or is she writing part of this and they corroborate? Collaborate. That's the word. But notice he's wanted by others. Rejoice in the light in you. We will praise your love more than wine. How right. Notice wine's going to be in here a whole lot. How right are they who adore you? In my younger days, well, you all were compadres of most of us. Who's the most admired man in America, say, prior to 1970?
Elvis.
Who's the most admired man? I didn't say envied man. Who's the most, seriously, you're not thinking along the line I am? I would have said John F. Kennedy, but you're older than I am. I mean, whatever John and whatever Jackie wore, the women with the pillbox hats, stuff, they looked up to him. And I think he's Solomon. She's saying, is that why people look up to him? Elvis. Love me tender. Okay, that would have worked. Love me, okay. How right there to do you. Dark I am. Now listen, she's right. Dark I am. Let's go a little bit farther. O daughters of Jerusalem. I heard a debate yesterday. Do you have the right picture of Jesus in your mind? Okay. The movement is now to say Jesus was not a Jew. He was a Palestinian. No, I'm serious. Well, the problem was Palestine was not created to what? 680, 750 BC, something like that. Jesus was in zero. So the word Palestine actually came from one of the, I can't remember if it was Herod or whether it was an emperor who hated the Jews. So he named the area Palestine because it was after the Philistines who the Jews hated. So that word was not around, and Jesus was not a Palestinian. But you're going to hear that, particularly with these mouthy two women we got up there in the Congress right now that's running their mouth like they need kale peptate or something. So, I didn't say that, did I? Good. The daughters of I'm dark. Jesus was not white. Jesus was not a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. I'm sorry. I don't care about that Dutch painter you got on your wall when you go into the house. He was not. He was dark-skinned, dark hair, probably more than likely dark eyes. I'm losing it. Too much cinnamon, I guess, Jill. Or maybe not enough cinnamon. I don't know which. But get that out of your mind. It's not because if we go to heaven and there's no white guy up there, we're going to be shocked. Where's the Lord Jesus I've been worshiping all these years? I'm right here. We go on. Do not stare at me. That's the second time because I'm dark. You think, like some of these women that get out at the beach and try to get dark as they can right away. Well, I'm darkened by the sun. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me care for the vineyards. This girl worked out in the fields. Now, if somebody's, you may have heard the term farmer's tan. From here up is white, and Jeff showed him one, he's got a farmer's tan. From here up is white, and rest right down is dark. Well, she's got the farmer's tan. I'm dark, I worked in the field. My own vineyard I've neglected. Now, anytime you hear her talking about her vineyard, she's talking about her body. Bottom line, don't mean to offend you, that's just the way it is. Tell me, you who I love, where you graze your flock, and where you rest your sheep at midday. Why should I be like a veiled woman because of the flocks and your friends? I'm not a prostitute, is what she just said. I don't want to run around where the shepherds are waiting on some woman to show up in a veil, a temptress. That's not me. I'm dedicated to you, Solomon. For if you do not know, most beautiful women keep the tracks of the sheep and graze your young goats by the tents of the shepherds. Like you, my darling, to a mare harnessed to one of the chariots of the Pharaoh. Your cheeks are beautiful with earrings. Your neck with strings of jewels. These guys wore earrings back then. Did you know that? And we think it's sort of strange when we see that today. It's nothing new. Ladies, purpose of earrings and nose rings, which they wore back then. Purpose of earrings and nose rings. Do you know what it was?
Because they were gold. That was something that they could trade.
That was their dowry. That was wealth. They carried their wealth in their nose and their ears. What did you say, Irina? Okay. That's what I thought. Your cheeks are beautiful with earrings. Your neck with strings of jewels. You will make your earrings of gold and studded with silver. So adorned beautifully. While the king was at his table, my perfume spread its fragrance. They had perfume 3,000 years ago. I thought Christian Dior or Liz Taylor invented perfume. Sorry about that. And it wasn't even Avon back then.
No, because they didn't have right guard.
They didn't have right guard. That's probably why they were, yeah. They would have gone out and gotten plants. The berries of plants boiled them down. They would have got some of the sap from, like a golden frankincense and myrrh. It would have been a plant production. It would have been organic.
Here's a word I've never seen. Mine don't say perfume. It says S-P-I-K-E-N-A-R-D.
Spikens. That's also used when it talks about material that was used to adorn to put around the body of Christ. It means fragrant material. Yeah.
Okay. I have a question.
Please.
Okay. The north and the south. Judah was the southern region.
About, I'm going to say, a third from the bottom. It wasn't very south, because you get too far south, you get into the desert. Can you pop it up? No? You already got it? What's taking so long? Map of Israel.
Solomon was of Judah.
Yes.
And who was at the northern region?
Well, it was the 10 tribes that were still there. You know, Dan and all the other tribes, Naphtali and those guys, who later went away when they split up right after Solomon. When Solomon's son, when Jeroboam and Rehoboam, they went north. So all Solomon had left was Benjamin and Judah. Well, that's not very clear, but I can do it anyway. Judah's right in here, Jerusalem in this area. But you see how much...
Be happy with what you...
Now you made me think I need cataracts. So you see, it's roughly a third.
Okay, now where's Nazareth?
Right in the tribe of Benjamin area, right in here. Yeah. Well, not total middle. I mean, total middle would be right up in here. But yeah, it's farther north. Because from here on down, you have very few wilderness of Zin, which is also called Sin at time. This is mostly the desert. Good question. We like questions. Anybody else got a question? Somebody make up a question while I'm getting something to drink. Okay, Joe, that's your job. He didn't do it. So, here we go. Oh, beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful your eyes are doves. I don't know. The doves I've got in the backyard are sort of grayish looking. I'm thinking about that song. What's that country Christian song? On the wings of a snow white dove. So I'm maybe the reflection of the eyes or something in like. Beloved, how handsome you are, my lover. And oh, how charming. Our bed is... Verdant. I don't know what that word even means.
Verdant.
Verdant. Still don't know what it means. The beams of our house are cedars. Our rafters are firs. He's talking about how well Solomon's temple is built, and we know it is. I am a rose of Sharon. Do we not have a rose of Sharon plant somewhere on the property? The tree... Do we have the rose of Sharon tree? Larry, you're supposed to... Know that, you and Linda. Well, there's a tree called a rose of Sharon. A lily of the valley. There's a good Christian line for a psalm. Like a lily among the thorns is my darling among the maidens. Beloved, like an apple tree. And an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my lover among young men. I delight to sit in his shade. His fruit is so sweet to my taste. He has taken me to the banquet hall, and his banner over me is love. There's another. You think these guys are making the sums up? They're stealing all these ideas from the Bible. There's three psalms right there. His banner over me is love. We see that in VBS. Strengthen me with raisins. That's what it says. Strengthen me with raisins. Isn't that a real sweet? Has energy? Don't you give it to your kids when you want them to get all fired up and send them to grandma's? Yeah. like that pixie crack, you know, those pixie sticks.
And it will purify your blood.
Yeah.
Raisins will purify your blood.
No kidding. And say clogged up blood. Refresh me with apples, for I am faint with love. Under his left arm, with his left arm under my head, his right arm embraces me. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the does of the field. Okay, wild animals lived in that area. Not up in Jerusalem itself, because it was on the hillside, but all in the valley. So they had wild animals. Verse 8. Listen, my lover, look, here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. Say, it's an allegory. My lover is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, he stands behind the wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. My lover, sound like
a voyeur.
Pedophile. Hey, I didn't write the book. I'm just reading it. My lover spoke to me and said, arise, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and they're gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. Sort of like a peaceful setting, you think, you know. Larry, you vote. Would you find that word?
Yeah, the rose of Sharon is a hibiscus. Not to run back.
A hibiscus. Well, we're full of roses of Sharon then. Now, is that a hibiscus plant or a hibiscus tree? Just kidding. It's a hibiscus. There you go. Thank you. I love them little telephones that knows everything. Y'all help me a lot. The fig tree forms its early fruit. And I do remember, the fig tree was the one that Jesus cursed on that Monday and found it on Tuesday, because it had already blossomed, and it has the fruit first and then the blossoms. So when the blossoms are on it and there's no fruit, it's not a fruit producer. So that's also talking about the fig trees. And they do come early. Vines spread their fragrance. Flowers. Now, anymore, commercial flowers, which we get on Sunday mornings, they have no flavor. They're all bred for looks. But can you remember going out, or if you walk around, and some flowers are just hitting you. Jasmine in the backfield. Let me tell you a flower you don't want to smell. Bottle brush. Almost put me in the hospital. It's got poison in it, or it's got allergies in the pollen. But other ones smell good. My dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding place of the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet. These are charmers. Sound like Shakespeare had a part of this, you know? Your voice, your face is lovely. Catch us, the foxes, the little foxes that run in the vineyard, are vineyards that are in bloom. My lover is mine and I am his. He browses among the lilies until the day breaks and the shadows flee. Turn, my lover, be like a gazelle, a young stag on the rugged hills. All night long on my bed I looked for the one my lover, my heart loves. I looked for him, but he could not find him. I will get up now and go about the city, to the streets and the squares. I will search for my heart, the one my heart loves. That sounds like a Hallmark horror, or a Hallmark film, or movie, yeah. I will search for him. The watchmen found me as they made the rounds. Have you seen the one my heart loves? Sacredly, I have passed them and found the one my heart loves. I held him and would not let him go. This should be read by a woman. Got a lot softer voice. I held him and would not let him go till I brought him to my mother's house, to the room, the one who conceived me. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles, by the does in the field, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. The Supremes, Diana Ross, can't hurry love, just have to wait. Stole it from that. Who is coming up from the desert like a column of smoke, perfume with myrrh and incense, made from all the spices of the merchants? You can see why those merchants did pretty well. When the people wanted the products they had to make them smell good. Look, it's Solomon's carriage, escorted by 60 warriors, the noblest of all Israel. Now, he went with a crowd. 60 fighting men went with him wherever he went. The best of the fighting men in the world. The seals or the Rangers, or it wasn't no, you know, flunkies. He had the best of all the fighting men to protect him. All of them wearing a sword. All of them experienced in battle. Now, how did they get experienced in battle? How did they get experienced in battle? That line should not be there. You know why? Solomon had no wars. These were David's leftovers. These were trained and fought under David, which tells me this had to be early in Solomon's reign. Because Solomon reigned for 40 years. If this had been the last year, and these guys had fought under David 45 years earlier, they'd been a bunch of old turkeys. They're not. So this is early in Solomon's reign. Maybe before he got trapped by those women we talked about that led him into the false god. See, that's how we can time some of this. King Solomon made for himself the carriage. He made it from the wood of Lebanon. Now, does he actually form the wood into the carriage, or he have it made for him? He didn't go down at the carriage dealership. You know, Joe Blow's carriage. I think it's a second. Its post he made of silver, the base of gold. The seat was upholstered. They had upholstery 3,000 years ago. And remember, purple, the royal color, and the color of the priest, the high priest. This interior, lovingly inlaid by the daughters of Jerusalem. So he had seamstress working. Come out, you daughters of Zion. That means Jerusalem. Okay. Come out, you daughters of Zion. And look at King Solomon wearing the crown. The crown by which his mother crowned him on the day of his wedding, the day his heart rejoiced. So she's painting a pretty good picture, okay? Go on. How beautiful are you, my darling? Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are like doves. There's the dove thing again. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead. I somehow wonder why goat hair would look so good. Maybe because at a distance it's real white and shiny. I don't know. But he did have a way with words, didn't he? Your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn. Now that I can tell you about, and so can Irene and Becky, because when you shear a sheep, you do it right, you get right down to the white skin. They will sunburn. Yeah. You left that out. Coming up from the washing, each has its twin, and none of them is alone. They birth early in the spring, and you shear them because you want to get the wool off of them before it gets too hot. So you've got the mom and the two babies with her. And 90% of all sheep births are twins. We had some trips. We had one or two singles, and we had one set of quads. But mostly they're twins.
Don't say that. We've raised goats.
I wouldn't tell anybody that.
Oh, yeah. That was our money crop.
Do you eat them?
It's barbecue, yes.
You barbecue goat.
If you're careful with that skin and the hair, you won't have that tall taste.
I'll buy that. Your temples. Your lips are like scarlet ribbon. I guess you painted them red. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like the halves of a pomegranate. What a way with words. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built with elegance. And on it hangs 1,000 shields. Okay, I think that that's talking about the tower, not about her neck. Your two breasts are like fawns, like the twin fawns of a gazelle. They browse among the lilies until the day breaks and the shadow. I'm moving fast on that, unless there's a question. If there's any question, go ahead. Joe's got the answer back in the back. How beautiful are you, my darling? There are no flaws in you. Come with me to Lebanon, my bride. Now, in the 60s and 70s of our life, Lebanon was a terrible place. There was a civil war going on all the time. In the times of David, it was a... Joe, did you all go there, Jill, to Lebanon? Was it passable? Richard, did you go to Lebanon? Still too much trouble, huh?
I was in Beirut.
Well, that's Lebanon.
I know it.
Was it civil war torn?
Not when I went. I was back in 73, so it was pretty safe.
Before the war. It was a beautiful place one time. All the trees of Lebanon, the great cedars were tremendous there at one time. So that was a bragging place at that time. Come with me to Lebanon. Descend from the crest of Amaya to the top of Seir, the summit of Hermon. From the lion's den to the mountain haunts of the leopards. You have stolen my heart, my sister, my bride. Now, sister is not sister. He's not marrying his sister.
Not from Kentucky?
No. He can marry cousins, but not sisters. Although, you know, I may be wrong, because if you do realize, we have a good example. We're from the Abraham's line, because Abraham and Sarah were half-brothers and sisters. So it may have been all right. I don't know. See, Becky keeps getting into genealogy, because one of the days she hopes that she can prove we're kin to each other. Or maybe she can prove we're not.
There is a question on the Kentucky marriage license if you are related.
Yeah. We will be after we marry.
Yeah, you have to say yes or no if you are related.
Really?
And they will not give you a marriage license if you're in the first two generations. You can be third cousins twice removed, but you can't be first generation or second generation.
They do that in Tennessee, too.
Yeah.
Jeff has something to say, but he's not saying that loud. What was that, Jeff?
Dick was funny there for a minute.
Once you cross that border, you cross the line, huh?
It's okay. In Kentucky, we're proud of our
kids. Well, just, you know, the guys go to a family reunion looking for a date. I mean, what else can I say? It wouldn't be laughing if my grandparents weren't second cousins on both sides. That's a fact.
I had to go to Missouri to find my husband.
You have stolen my heart, my sister, my bride. You've stolen my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride? How much more pleasing is your love than wine? I keep comparing it to wine, the fragrance of your perfume than any spice. Your lips drop sweetness as the honeycomb, my bride. Milk and honey are under your tongue. You're not following that one at all. The fragrance of your garments is like that of Lebanon. You are a garden locked up, my sister, my bride. You are spring enclosed in a sealed fountain. This guy could turn a word. Your plants are an orchard of pomegranates with choice fruits, with henna and nard. Nard is it's what they get with the scrapings of plants and stuff. It's one of the anointments, one of the spiker there. Calamus and cinnamon. And every kind of incense tree with myrrh and alloys. The fine spices. You are garden, fountain, well of flowing water streaming down from Lebanon. Awake, north wind, come and south wind, blow my garden that fragrance from a spread abroad. Let my lover come from the garden and taste its choice fruits. I have come to my garden, my sister, my bride. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb and my honey. I have drank the wine and my milk. Eat, O friends, and drink. By the way, there is a bill in the Florida State Senate to make you change the labels of any kind of food that's a lie. Almond milk is not milk. Rice milk is not milk. Hamburgers are not made out of ham. And soy burgers are not made out of burgers. All the things work wrong in Florida, and they're having a debate over almond milk. Earning their money, folks. I slept, but my heart was awake. Listen, my lover is knocking open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my flawless ones. My head is drenched with dew, my hair with the dampness of the night. I've taken off my robe. Must I put it on again? I've washed my feet. Must I soil them again? My lover thrust his hand through the latch opening. They didn't have any glass in those windows. My heart began to pound for him. I rose to open for my lover. My hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with the flowing myrrh on the handles of the lock. Open for my lover, but my lover has left. He's gone. My heart sank with his departure. I looked for him, but he did not find him. I called him, but he did not answer. The watchman found me. As they made their rounds, they beat me, they bruised me, they took away my cloak. These watchmen of the walls. It wasn't as good as the first time she met them.
What do they call that? To compare that to Christ? Something from
the priest?
No.
The Roman soldiers took his coat on and put on the robe.
Right, but they call that some kind of a prophecy, prophetic.
Type and pre-type. Yeah. And there's several of those in here.
Yeah.
They beat me, they bruised me, they took away my cloak. O daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you. If you find my lover, what will you tell him? Tell him I am faint with love. How is your beloved better than others? Most beautiful of women. How is your beloved better than others? So that you charge us so. My lover is radiant and ready. Outstanding among 10,000. She got a high attitude of him. His head is purest gold. His hair is wavy and black like a raven. His eyes like doves. They stuck on the dove thing. By the water streams washed in milk. Any of y'all ever wash your hair in milk?
Yeah.
For real?
Yes.
No. Silk milk or rice milk or cow milk?
No, cow's milk.
For what reason?
Like a
conditioner.
Yeah. Well, you know, what was the pink stuff? No, the cream rinse. It was cream rinse.
More information I need. His cheeks are like the beds of spice yielding perfume. His lips are like lilies dripping with the myrrh. His arms are like rods of gold set with chrysolite. That would be a diamond. His body is like a polished ivory decorated with sapphires. This guy sounds like the Rock. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of pure gold. His appearance is like that of Lebanon, choice as his cedars. His mouth is sweetness itself. He is altogether lovely. This is my lover, my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Now, I've got 1 minute, and I cannot get through three chapters in 1 minute. So you're going to have to hold on or read ahead, because we're going to stop with five and start with six next week. Any questions? That's why we're doing this on Wednesday, not Sunday morning. In case there's questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Joe, you're going to be gone, so you're going to miss the rest of the story next week. Good job again. Good job.
You're a challenge.
Would you have any other way?
No.
I mean,